I forget how many weeks we're into the series, but we're in quite deep. And the series, if you remember, is about being stretched. It's about stretching not only our faith, but our minds, our bodies, further than we've gotten, further than we are, further than we think we're capable of. But when you look at what it means to be stretched, and over the last few weeks we've gone over the various ways God stretches us, I want to look at a different way, perhaps. A way that most of us will scoff at. And when we look at this way of being stretched, and I want you to look at it, and I want you to think about it silently in your head, and you don't have to share with your neighbors if you feel embarrassed or not, but the way I want us to frame being stretched today is by way of celebration. What I'm asking is, how do you celebrate? How do you celebrate? Are your celebrations, and you can think about this, grunts? Oh, yeah. Right? Are they manly grunts? Are they glees of joy and laughter? Right? Are they giddy jumping in up and down, up and down, up and down, and up and down some more? Excitement and yelling. Or maybe you're a little like me and you don't celebrate at all. You don't grunt, you don't glee. You just look at it and you go, I could have done something better. You mark your celebration with, huh? And you kind of move on. How do you celebrate? I know most of you are not going to celebrate like you scored a touchdown for the first time in your life playing football. I know most of you won't jump up and down. And I know most of us, we laugh maybe. But here's the worst part. Most of us will not celebrate. We will not recognize an opportunity to celebrate. And it's not because we're depressed or sad, but it's because we're so result-driven. We're so milestone-hungry that celebrations aren't worth celebrating unless they're spectacular, that they're big, that they're worthy or deemed worthy of some type of celebration. And here's what I mean about that. Being Asians, we celebrate graduation with jajangmyeon, right? Do your parents not? Did your parents do that ever? Like you graduate elementary school, junior high school, college, and you went and got a bowl of jajangmyeon or jjampong, right? And that was your celebration, right? But then, you know, you go after church every other Sunday and you go have more jajangmyeon, right? And so it's not like a celebration anymore at that point. It's just like, I have some noodles when I graduate. I have some noodles after church. And so we equate graduating and doing something special with the fact that you actually went to church with your entire family and you haven't sinned because you came together to the restaurant and are there eating jajangmyeon, and it doesn't mean anything anymore. And so we lose the impact of celebration. And in losing that impact, what we lose is our ability to look foolish and to be foolish and to be a little childish and to have a little faith, a little more hope. If you look at it, what you notice in the Bible, and if you read it, is that when Zacchaeus jumped up onto the tree to look for Jesus, and Zacchaeus was a wee little man, he did so at the risk of looking foolish. But what he was really doing was he was really celebrating the fact that there was a celebrity coming to his town. And so when Jesus stopped up at the tree and looked up and said, Zacchaeus, you have to come down at once because I have to eat dinner at your house, he probably hopped right off that tree like an old man wouldn't, did some heel clap or heel tapping and ran to his house. But he celebrated that fact. When the wise men decided they were going to leave Persia to follow a star, they probably celebrated the fact that they can go and do something like that. Begin a journey following a star. How foolish is that? You're a king, you're a prince, you're a wise man, you're nobility. You don't look up at the stars one night and say, hey, let's drop all our duties. Let's just drop what we're doing right now and follow a star and see what happens. And when we start thinking about that, we come to Bethlehem where they worshiped the very Son of God. They celebrated Jesus' birth. And so we have Christmas that we celebrate 2,000 years later. Or maybe what we wouldn't have is a Peter who celebrated the fact that, hey, if that is my Jesus walking on the water, then maybe I can walk on water too. Because if you look at why he did what he did, yes, it was foolish because that defies not only the laws of gravity and buoyancy and all of that, physics, but he celebrated the fact that the guy he was following was out there in the water and he wanted to go join him. You see, celebrating actually stretches our faith. It stretches our perspective because it makes our perspective look at ourselves in a way where our foolishness, our silliness, is something to be desired and hoped for. Because that's what gives us a unique perspective on where we're going and how we're getting there. Today I want to look at a story in the Old Testament. And the story is the story of David. And I don't know if a lot of you know the story, but it comes from 2 Samuel chapter 6. If you can open up your Bibles, you can go there with me. And I'm going to look at the story because the story is so interesting. It's so interesting because it teaches us at length and at detail about celebrating. 2 Samuel chapter 6, we're going to pick it up in verse 12. But before then, let me tell you a little about where we are. King David is now king. Saul is dead. Okay? Saul is dead. And David is now king. And one of his first acts as king is to restore the rightful worship of God in Jerusalem. So the first thing he does is he wants to bring the Ark of the Covenant of God back home. And so that's where he's at. Verse 12. And it was told to King David, the Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the Ark of God. And so let me tell you how it ends up at this guy Obed-Edom's house. They were bringing it to Jerusalem one day, and there was a battle. And something happened, and it got everybody scared, so they left it at this guy Obed's house. Okay, they just left it. They were like, no, we can't deal with this right now. We're in a war. We're afraid to touch it. So they were like, hey, Obed, there's a battle, like, not too far from here. We're going to leave this at your house. And for years and years and years, they had forgotten about it. They had forgotten the fact that it was even there. Like, they knew, but they didn't know. But, like, they were so afraid of it. Because, you know, what happens is when you touch the ark, you die. Right? So you had to get, you know, the long sticks, and then the priest had to carry it. And because of that, they were like, we're in the middle of war. We can't move this right now. We're going to leave it here. And so Obed-Edom and his house was this Ark of God. So David went and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. Another word for rejoicing here, and a better translation would be glee. Glee. He brought the Ark of God with glee, knowing full well that if anything goes wrong, the wrath of God would be upon them. Because yes, the Ark of God brought blessing, but if you mistreated it, if you mishandled it, it would mean dire, dire consequences. Like, if you look at your life, have you thought about your life as being part of this journey? Like, God has given you something in your heart to do, right? Like a goal. Like, he's given you a dream. And what you have to know is, and what you have to understand is, and I've been preaching this for years and years and years now, is that we all have a purpose in life, a God-given purpose. A lot of us are in a path and a journey to discover what that purpose is. But what we understand is that purpose is greater than what we are right now. And we are on our way to go get it. Or we are journeying to get it. And it might be slow and it might not work out the way it's supposed to work out. But what we are is on this journey. And a lot of us, we hate this journey because it's so slow. Because we don't feel like this is the journey that we're supposed to be taking. Yet, this is the journey that we're on. David teaches us, whatever journey you're out on, whatever journey you and I are out on, wherever we are right now, we have to do it cheerfully, with glee, with rejoicing. We don't do it with rejoicing. I want to stop here for a second because this is so important. God gave us a dream, no matter how hard it is. No matter how difficult the path, no matter where our circumstances and where our lives are right now, the reason we even have this dream, the reason we can't stop pursuing, the reason we can't hate it, is because God wants us to do this joyfully, in celebration. It's a supreme honor, right? In fact, it's such an honor, it's such a big deal, the dream that we have, that God sent his son Jesus to die for us. Right? Otherwise, we would not have a purpose for our lives. There'd be no reason for us. But he wants to include us in this journey, in this path. The Ark of God could have stayed at Obed's house. David didn't have to choose it. And a lot of us, what happens with our lives is we get so sidetracked and so distracted that we forget that we even have a dream to begin with. We're okay with being sad. We're okay with just being burdened for no reason. But really, it's not okay. We have this burden to be joyful for it, to be grateful for it, to celebrate the fact that we have a purpose. Your life has a purpose, and we need to celebrate it. We need to celebrate it, whatever that is. I remember when I was younger, and this was a long time ago, my dad was a church pastor, and this was, you know, maybe when I was like 14 or 15 years old, but like one of my chores, quote unquote chores, we didn't have chores at the house, but we did have chores at church. And the reason we had chores at church was not because my dad was the pastor, but because, you know, there was only like four or five guys in the youth group. And everybody else in the church actually had full-time jobs and work and stuff. And our church was in the basement, right? And one of my jobs, and one of my least favorite jobs was to clean the stairs. Have you ever tried cleaning stairs in the fall? And I mean, this weather really reminds me of it. When you try to clean stairs, right, what you notice is when the leaves turn brown, they fall off the trees. And if there are stairs and a stairwell down, that's where they accumulate and gather dead leaves, right? And so you can clean and clean and clean, but what happens is it doesn't go away because the leaves keep falling off. And I never really understood this, and I never understood it until later, but it's such a menial job. Because number one, it stinks, right? Like, it's a lot of work. And, you know, if you grew up at a Korean church back in the day, in the 90s, what you have to realize that you had to come with a suit and tie, right? Like, and if you got it messy because you were doing church work, no, that was a no-no. You'd be in trouble, right? Like, your youth pastor would, you know, berate you, right? You couldn't do that. So you couldn't sweat in it, so you had to do it ever so carefully. Right? You couldn't get it dirty, and you know how dirty that these tree leaves get, and you know, they're dead. They're like in the streets of New York. It's dirty. There's gum on some of these leaves, right? And so you're doing this carefully, but you're still sweating because it's not cold enough to be cool, but it's kind of hot, and you're doing physical work, and you're trying to do this. And at the church every Sunday, I would complain. I'd moan about it. Like, why is it my job? Why do I have to do this? Why? And, you know, every week, and I never understood this, my dad was like, Jonathan, you have to be thankful. You have to do this with rejoicing. And he would never say why. And he would always say, do it with happiness, do it with joy. Do it with happiness, do it with joy. And just imagine putting your hands into leaves, sticking them into a garbage bag, Week in, week out. Week in, week out. And then here's the best part. You know those church people who come to church and then they throw the coffee cups? Right? Like they just leave it everywhere. I love it when they throw it into the stairs where the entrance was, because then you would have to go clean that up too, right? Like there's still like coffee stains in it, right? And they would just be there. And I'd be like, why? Why? But here's what it taught me. Even that was glorifying God. You did something nobody noticed. You did something everybody despised to do. But when you do it with rejoicing, you said, God, I am able to do this with happiness and with gladness because you gave me life to do this. You gave me life to do this. When people walked down those stairs, they were spotless. They felt welcomed to be there. Menial task beneath me. But when you do it with joy and thanksgiving, there's a purpose that God uses in that. And this is exactly what David is showing us. He didn't want to go and get this ark. It killed people. But he does it with rejoicing. With glee. We have to live our lives with glee. We have to do the things in our lives, the chores in our lives with rejoicing. We have to celebrate those things, those activities. We have to be glad in them. Verse 13, and when those who bore the ark of the Lord had gone six steps, he sacrificed an ox and a fattened animal. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. I want to stop there. How many steps did he go?
Six.
Right? There's no significance in that number six. Trust me, I looked it up. All over the place. I looked it up. The significance is this, right? They didn't go far. They literally went out the door, maybe to where the fence meets the road. And David decided, you know what? I made it this far. Look how far I made it. From the house where this thing was to the yard to the road. Let's stop one moment. Let's give thanks to God. He sacrificed an ox. Right? He sacrificed an ox. This is not an easy thing to do. It's not like he had a refrigerator with ox parts to sacrifice. It literally means he had an ox. He killed the ox. Right? Like you had to kill an animal to sacrifice the animal. And then he killed and sacrificed another fattened animal. Right? So you know, to sacrifice something, you have to skin it. And like, you have to do stuff to it. Right? Like, it's a lot of work to celebrate. He went six steps. Let me correct that. He didn't go six steps. The people who were carrying the ark went six steps. And he decided, let's stop and celebrate with God. Have you realized how little we celebrate with God? Have you realized that God wants us to celebrate every small thing with him? Right? And this is what we have to understand about David. David understood that it wasn't about how far he went, but how much of it he's going and remembering God that he got this far. David got six steps. That's the length of this room. He went the length of this room and decided, hey, it's time for me to have a celebration with God. Let me remember God for bringing me this far and haven't killed me yet, right? Like, I haven't died yet. Thank you, God. He doesn't just stop himself. He stops his army, who's probably with him, his bodyguards, the priests that are carrying, you know, this heavy ark. So let's celebrate. When's the last time you celebrated a small milestone? Hey, you got an A. Hey, you finished the project well. Hey, you know, you actually put your shoes together and tied them. You matched your tie to your shoes, your shirt, whatever. Like, when's the last time we celebrated? God, thank you. Right? It's not often that we celebrate. We especially don't remember God for it. And David wants to teach us it because if you look at this passage, if you look at these two verses alone, what we have to understand is that there is a reason for David looking foolish to celebrate something so small and insignificant. But there's a truth behind it, isn't there? In fact, it's sort of like the Bible is telling us that life isn't really worth living unless we're willing to celebrate our life with God and the journey that we're on with God. You don't get 6 steps and decide you're going to celebrate. Taking an entire time, I don't know how long it would take, but to slaughter an animal, 2 of them, light a fire, build an altar, and actually make a sacrifice. Right? It was a whole ritual. It was a whole thing. And then, after that, and then David danced before the Lord with all his might. Kings don't dance. Right? That's the truth of the matter. Kings don't dance. They don't. They don't dance with all their might. He danced with all his might. When's the last time we celebrated with God? Number one. But when's the last time we celebrated with God with all our might? When's the last time we shouted with God with all our might? With all our strength? That we were actually glad and we were truly glad and we celebrated like we meant it. Like Michelle could tell you, I don't really celebrate my birthday, right? Like she you know, helps me enjoy life. She teaches me to celebrate things better because I'm not a good celebrator. That's just not me. But when's the last time we actually celebrated with all our might? All of it. We're usually thinking about 100 million other things while we're celebrating, aren't we? About the next thing. David danced with all his might. That means he was dripping sweat. David was wearing a linen ephod. And I want you to know that because that's an interesting piece of detail that Samuel puts in here, right? That he was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the horn. Linen, when it gets wet, when you sweat through it, sticks and it becomes see-through, right? Like, it's not what you want to wear while you're dripping sweat on a desert highway. It's definitely not. Right. Other versions of this Bible, of this passage, say that, you know, David stripped down naked and danced before the Lord. And the reason that's important is because of this next part, verse 16. As the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. And they brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. Let me stop, right? Like, that's his wife, right? Who's the queen? If you're the queen and, you know, you're also the daughter of Saul, who was the former king, and you see your husband, like, butt naked, right? Because now the linen is sticking, because he's dancing with all his might to the music that's playing, and everyone's watching now. What do they think of the king? Right, that's right. You won't say it, but they say, my God, this king is an idiot. Right? That's what they're saying. This is what his wife is thinking. David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. He blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts and distributed among all the people, the whole multitude of Israel, both men and women, a cake of bread, a portion of meat, and a cake of raisins to each one. Then all the people departed, each to his house. And David returned to bless his household. But Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how the king of Israel honored himself today, uncovering himself today before the eyes of his servants, female servants, as one of the vulgar fellows shamelessly uncovers himself. And David said to Michal, it was before the Lord who chose me above your father and above all his house to appoint me as prince over Israel, the people of the Lord, and I will celebrate before the Lord. You see, everybody else in the world can tell you not to celebrate. You're not celebrating for them. You're celebrating with God. I will make myself yet more contemptible than this, and I will be abased in their eyes. But by the female servants of whom you have spoken, by them I shall be held in honor. Michael, the daughter of Saul, had no child to the day of her death. Okay, and this is all very interesting, and this is there's a lot of detail here that we have to break down and understand. So here's what we have to understand. Number one, it's not a burden. Celebrating is not a burden. Celebrating is what we do with God. And by this moment in time, you have to understand that when I say celebrate, you're probably thinking he doesn't really mean celebrate, like having a party. But really what he means is enjoying the presence of God, enjoying our lives in celebration with God. It means taking the time, taking a moment to look and reflect and say, wow, wow, this is something. This is a good thing. This, whatever I'm doing, however menial it may be, however dangerous it may be, however unimportant it may seem, is something that we're doing for God. For the glory of God. And when we stop and when we look and the six steps that we take, we're saying, God, thank you for this. I didn't get far, but this is what you got me. From point A to point B, no matter how long my legs are, God got me here. Let me rejoice with him. Let me do whatever it is in my best might. With all of my abilities, with all of my rhythmically challenged selves, to enjoy the life that God has given me, the opportunity that God has given me. This is what it is, right? This is what it means to celebrate. It doesn't mean throw a major party. To celebrate with God means stop and remember that there is something bigger and greater than what we're doing now. And we remember that, and we reflect our lives with that. We're willing to do something greater than ourselves, than our motivations. As foolish as it makes us look to stop and enjoy life when everyone else says don't enjoy it, to actually enjoy God in his presence here. Here's what's so great about this. They actually get done, right? They bring the ark from Obed-Edom's house to Jerusalem. They put it in a tent. And David offers God more sacrifices. He offers God more sacrifices. Right? Celebration is offering. This is why we even have offering. Right? It's not because it's God's to God's to God's. And that God gives and we're just giving it back. But it's really to say, wow, this is part of celebration. But here's what's so important about this, right? It says it in verse 21. And if we overlook it, if we overlook what David does, it's simple. David makes these sacrifices and he gives three gifts to the people of Israel. Right? He gives this bread. He gives this meat that's roastable. Right? And if he killed an ox, it's probably roast beef he gives. Right? And he gives a cake of raisins. A cake of raisins is actually a bag of wine. Okay? A bottle of wine. Because raisins is what happens when, right, it dries out and all the juices are taken and made into a wine. So he gives everybody some bread, some beef, and some wine. And Samuel says, not just the men. He gives the men and women. And I think it's important because you will never see that the Bible writes men and women. But he distinctly says it's men and women. Not just the household, but every person, every adult gets blessed by David's celebration. Do you realize that the people of Israel had their faith stretched because David was willing to stop and celebrate what God is doing in his life? Not just a small piece of bread, but enough of it to actually make a sandwich and have a cup of wine. Have you ever thought that maybe if we stop for a second to celebrate with God, that maybe the people around us would be able to enjoy God a little more because of it. That maybe everyone else in our lives seems so disgruntled because we're not celebrating God with them. We haven't taken the time to do so. God did something big in David's life when David was willing to stop and celebrate God. We need to practice celebrating God with all our might. We can't overlook celebration with God. It's why we celebrate on Sundays by singing songs to God. We celebrate every single week that God saved us from the dead. Every single week we come to church to remember that there was an empty grave. That when the people, when the disciples came down to Jesus' grave, there was nobody there. There was nothing there. And this is what's so important about our lives, that when we rush through it, when we try to do things and we don't remember God, we miss out on what God is doing, what God has done. The big things and the small things. We forget that we were once worthless nobodies. But it was exactly the worthless nobodies that God uses. When Michael, David's wife, hates on David for embarrassing himself as king, David has this response: "It was before the Lord who chose me above your father and above all his house to appoint me prince of Israel." You see, he was never supposed to be king. He was a shepherd. He was a shepherd. He was a nobody. He wasn't even considered amongst his brothers to be the next king. They had forgotten about him because he was out with the sheep. He was a worthless nobody that God had anointed and made prince of Israel. He killed Goliath. Not Saul, not Saul's sons, not his older brothers, but he did. A shepherd that everybody had forgotten. This is why he celebrates, because he remembers that the dream that God gave us is greater than us, bigger than us, more important than us, but it's a dream that God gave us. If we look in 1 Corinthians, what we see in chapter 1, verses 26, is this: For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many of you were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring nothing. 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 So that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of Him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. This is so important. As children of immigrants, what you should know is your parents came from nothing to come here. You may not have the right connections to move ahead in your life. You might not have the right social circles that you're traveling in. You might not even have the right opportunities in front of you. But none of that matters. Because you have God. Because Christ Jesus saved you. Because it was for God and through God to whom everything in your life has meaning and purpose. That you do things that are beyond yourself and beyond your capabilities because of God. Because of God. When I was graduating high school, right at that time, my dad, he said something to me that stuck. And this thing that stuck with me is this. He said, "Jonathan, you have no back in this world." He said, "Your dad is a small pastor that nobody knows. You're not the son of Billy Graham. You're not the children of Bill Gates. But you're a child of God." That's all you have in this life. Cling to it. And if you look at what David does in this life, if you look at what David does in the story, that's all he clings to. He knew he was a nobody. He was held in honor not because of Saul, not because of his parents, but because God chose him. He became king of Israel. This is the modus operandi of God, that when we're able to celebrate what God is doing, how far we got, when we're able to deliberately choose that God is using the foolish to shape and shame the wise around us, we're willing to see that God is blessing the lives of the people around him, around you and me. We're able to give gifts of cake and bread and rice and meat to the people around us because we're willing to stop and celebrate God. This is what we get from celebrating. If we allow ourselves to celebrate God every single moment, every single accomplishment, every single small thing that we do, think of it. Whose lives would change when they get back home? When they meet you and walk away? You'll be able to dole out God, the gifts of God, because you're willing to share your celebration of God in your life. This is what it means to be stretched. This is what it means. This is how David was stretched in celebrating. This is how you need to celebrate your life, your journey, your walk with God. Because there's so much celebrating to do with God.